Stacey and friends and family. Happy anniversary from Stacey and Hubs all the way from Franklin, Tennessee. We love you, we miss you. Isn't that right?
Hey everyone, it's Marie calling in from South Florida. I just want to wish the happiest anniversary to Ecclesia Hattiesburg and all of my friends and family there. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for me while I was in Hattiesburg, as well as whenever I was in Armenia. I am still with you guys in spirit, and I'm sending all of the palm trees your way. Wishing health, and thank you so much.
Happy 30th anniversary, Ecclesia. I'm so sad that I can't be there with you guys today. I'm sure, you know, that it would be such a blast, like it always is. I've not been to Ecclesia in about 4 years now, and I miss you guys so much. I haven't quite found a community like yours altogether, but I'm sure you're still making such a huge change in the Hattiesburg community and everybody that you guys come into contact with. I am currently at Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts, so that is why I'm not currently in town with you guys to be able to celebrate, but as soon as I'm back, I will give all of you a great big smile and hug because you've made such a difference and been such a community in my life. Happy anniversary, Ecclesia. I love all of you and I miss you so much.
Hey, it's Rachel and Brooklyn Miller,
and we currently live in Dunn, North Carolina, and we just wanted to say
happy anniversary, Ecclesia.
Hi everybody, it's Ryan and Webb in San Antonio, Texas. We sure do miss y'all, but we wanted to wish you a happy anniversary and many, many good years ahead.
Hey Ecclesia, happy 14th anniversary. It's been a bunch of years since we started out in the upper room of the Hampton residence. But Michael, your ministry has blessed a lot of people, including Debbie and I and our family. So we appreciate all you've done and all you're going to continue to do through Christ.
Happy anniversary, Ecclesia. We love you and we miss you.
Bye. Hi, Ecclesia. It's Hannah.
And Kyler Knowles.
And we're saying hello from Corvallis, Oregon.
And
happy anniversary, Ecclesia.
Happy birthday, Ecclesia. This is Mary Travis from North Carolina. I wish I could be there with you to celebrate, but know that my love and my prayers are with you all. You are still my Ecclesia family.
Hi, I'm Aaron. I live in Austin now. I just want to say happy birthday, Ecclesia.
Happy 13th anniversary, Ecclesia. We miss you guys. Love you.
Miss you.
Good evening. This is Tim and Kay Rayner. We're talking to y'all from Lima, Ohio. We're delighted that we could be a part of this anniversary event for Ecclesia.
We're so grateful for the 10 years that we got to participate in the faith and love of the Ecclesia community. And we're so excited to be able to wish you a happy 13th anniversary. And we wish you many, many more filled with many blessings.
We're grateful that we've been a part of the Ecclesia story and that Ecclesia has been a part of our lives. We wish you all the very best going into this year. Congratulations and happy anniversary from the Rainers in Ohio.
Happy anniversary.
Hi, I'm Sumner in New Orleans, wishing Ecclesia a happy anniversary.
How fun was that? Thanks for everyone who, Ecclesia folks were now spread all over the country who took some time to send a little happy anniversary to you. It is our 13th anniversary. We are starting our 14th year. We are well into our teens now. And so this is an important night for us in some ways. Of course, it's extraordinarily weird that we're still doing this like this. And if you'll forgive me tonight, well, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. We are Ecclesia Hattiesburg. Our name is strange. I know it's drawn from a Greek word, ekklesia, that means the called out ones. And if you're wondering why we chose that name and who we are, just keep listening, because I think that's what we'll end up talking about tonight as we celebrate that we've done 13 years and are still trying to figure out how to be church in this world, as crazy as it might be right now. If you'll forgive me tonight, I'm not going to maybe even do a typical sermon. I don't know. I am the most dangerous of all things right now, which is I am a preacher without a bunch of notes. So I was preparing a sermon based on the lectionary text. We'll probably do it next week because it's a really important text, particularly in regards to what we talked about last week. So I do want to get to it. But this is a kind of it's a special night. It's 13 years we've been around, and so I didn't really want to do a typical kind of sermon tonight or talk about what I had planned. I wanted to talk about something else instead. And this is again very strange way for us to do this. Normally, at this point, we would be getting ready for the big service, the band would have prepared a couple of special songs, and we would have a full band, and a lot of folks would show up, and we always do a potluck at the end of Lent and a potluck for our anniversary, and so I would be smelling all the delicious food wafting in, which is just encouraging me to preach faster so we can get to it, and also at the same time, I would be strategizing how I can still look like a servant leader and get to Steve Willis's ribs before they're gone, which is a strategic move I have to make every year. And I have found if you start at the dessert table, you can still get some of the good stuff without cutting in line when you're the last one out of the sanctuary. So just a little pro tip for you for next year when potlucks aren't a felony anymore. But so this is strange for us to do it like this. I hate that we're not in person right now. I hate that I'm not listening to the band and the arrangements I came up with and listening to Toby and Sharon and Taylor sing and the band play and getting to see you guys face to face and take communion with you and break the bread and do all of that. I hope and pray it will not be long before we do that again. Glad you're on here. And this week, again, it was weird thinking about the 13th anniversary and not meeting in person. And it was also just a strange week because I've been spending a lot of time thinking about what church is and what it means. I've had a lot of conversations with different pastors from all over the place that I know. Some of them are messaging me or calling me. And for some reason, I guess because I'm not in a traditional church setting, I end up being the person that they talk to a lot about maybe their own struggles with ministry or what it means to be a pastor or do church. And I'm kind of a listening ear for that. And I've just had a lot of those conversations lately that has gotten me thinking about those things as well. It's also the reason I mouthed off on Facebook this week. And I apologize for that. But after having all those conversations and hearing from some pastors who are genuinely struggling right now in other parts of the country and they're just struggling, and a lot of them are getting beat up, and so someone on Facebook in someone else's thread, it's none of my business, put something up. He basically inferred that pastors who aren't gathering in person right now don't have faith, and it just kind of lit a fuse. So that started a big back and forth, and then I posted something else, and this has just been on my mind, and I tried not to poke the bear on Facebook, but I did it this week, and I feel okay about it. I think it needed to be done, but we have always from the beginning, in a lot of ways from the beginning, what we have talked about has prepared us for this time, right? So much of what we said church is and is not, and the convictions that we have about that have meant that for us, while we miss meeting in person, while I hate not hearing the band and seeing you and eating the food tonight that you would have brought, I hate that. I can't wait for that to happen again. I'm going to be the first one there. I'm going to be the most excited one in the room. But we also have preached for a long time that that's not what this is all about. Those are great. They're good things, but they're not the thing, right? That we are called out, ecclesia, called out to go and be something. in this world. It's not about a building. It's not about time of the week. It's not about a program. It's about who we are and what we do and how we love in this world. And so in a lot of ways, we've been more prepared for this than anyone. And I think evidence of that is I haven't had a single one of you. And genuinely, thank you so much for this. I haven't had a single person from Ecclesia kind of put the screws to me about, like, why aren't we meeting? Why aren't we in person? Why do you, you know, hate our religious liberty? And why aren't you fighting against our persecution and all that? It's the biblical word for it. Nonsense. Horsepucky, I think, is what it is in Greek. But no one's put that pressure, because I think this is something we've been talking about in some way for a long time. And it's part of what makes us strange, is how we believe church is meant to be and how we are trying to practice it, what we have put value on and what we have not put value on, what we think is necessary and what we don't think is necessary, even if it's good. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for who you guys are and how you have led in this way. This week, I was reminded of one of my favorite passages out of Romans 12. And this is actually, I think, the first sermon I preached in Hattiesburg, like when I was interviewing for a job at the old First Baptist, which is what brought me here originally. I was doing an interview, and then I was supposed to preach a sermon in the Sunday night service, I think it was, as kind of, you know, your trial sermon. It's how you try out for the team kind of thing. And I think I talked about this because it was such a monumental thought to me at the time, and it was so reforming the way I looked at church. And it was based in Romans 12. And Romans, of course, is this really interesting book where it's just people trying to work out how to be the body of Christ, what church is and what church isn't. There's this really unique dynamic happening there. There's a thing called the Edict of Claudius that happened that kicked all the Jews out of Rome because Claudius believed that they were bad for society. You know, so Claudius removes all the Jews from Rome, which means for the early Christian church, all the Jewish Christians, there's Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians together, and all the Jewish Christians had to leave. And then the Gentile Christians were left to their own devices for a while and practiced faith by themselves. And then later on, when that edict was lifted and the Jews could come back, the Jewish Christians could come back to Rome, they came back to a church that was not very Jewish anymore. And they didn't really know how to worship God outside of their Jewish context. And the Gentiles didn't want anything to do with some of the things that came with that Jewish context. You can imagine there's some hard sells there, you know, circumcision, that kind of thing. So you end up having these two groups of people, both who are trying to figure out how to be Christians and are having a hard time figuring out how to do that together now. And if you read Romans in that light, you'll see in the first 2, 3, 4 chapters especially, you see Paul just trying to reconcile these two sides to each other. Like, he'll kind of lift up this side and then knock them down, and lift up this side and knock them down. And he's trying to kind of get everyone in the same page again about what's really important. And for me, the highlight of Romans comes in chapter 12. And he says in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. Brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And I love this text, because it just sums up so much in such a small amount of time, and it works so well for the context that how we do church. And that is, the first thing is that it's in view of God's mercy, right? It's the idea that everything we do is viewed through the lens that all of life is grace, that I'm not getting what I deserve, and that's good news, that God loves and gives and forgives endlessly, and that there is no end to that mercy. And so everything in my life is viewed through that lens. I don't deserve this. I haven't just worked so hard and pulled myself up on my bootstraps that I get all the good stuff. No, anything good in my life is a gift from God, right? And so in light of that, in view of God's mercy, it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In view of the fact that everything I have is a gift from God, live God's sacrificial love in this world, right? Jesus says, you must pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, this sacrificial love that I have demonstrated in the world for you, that the love of sacrifice that I have given to you, you are then to go and give to each other. And not just to the people you like, not just people to the people that you would normally share the table with, but to those who are on the outside, the widows and the orphans and the imprisoned and the naked and the hungry, to your enemies. You must be this living embodiment of Christ's sacrifice and love. And when we are that living embodiment, it says, this is your spiritual act of worship. This is what worship is, right? And so much of what we have decided to form our lives around is that principle. The idea that worship is not a building. It's not an order of service. It's not do this, then sit down, then stand up, then read this, and then do this, and then break this, and then drink this, and then we're gone. And that's worship. That can be worship, and that may be a very important part of our week. I miss it desperately. I want it back. But God is not limited without those things. Our call is not changed without those things. We are called to wherever we are, whenever we are, around whoever we are, to be a living embodiment of Christ's sacrifice, of Christ's love for those, even our enemies, right? For anyone who we are in front of and is in front of us. And we formed Ecclesia with that emphasis. We don't own a building and we never will. We're not here to promote or grow some kind of structure or program or build some kind of little kingdom here that everyone will look at and applaud and think is really important and think is well run or any of those things. That's not what we're here for. We're not here because of any particular creed exactly. We're not here because of any minuscule theological points that we're going to make a giant stand on. We make room for a lot of different folks at Ecclesia. But we are committed to the love of Christ. We're committed to the fact that without it, we have nothing. We are committed to the fact that Scripture says that the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love, that all the commands are wrapped up in the idea that we love God and we love God by loving each other in the way that we have been loved, right? It's that simple and that difficult, that exceedingly difficult at the same time. And so, I don't know, one of the questions we asked this week, and we're going to post after we put this up, we'll post some of the responses. We have a written one, at least one video response to this question is, what has church meant for you during this pandemic? When all these trappings that we have said all along are not the thing get taken away, what are you really left with? What has church meant to you? Good, bad, ugly? What lessons are you learning? And I know for me, I'm learning that I'm learning what's really important. I've made jokes about being stuck with my kids at the house and not being able to go to work and be productive and do those things. But the truth is, I learned a lot more about what's important in my life in these last few months, about what it means to truly not live for myself and what I want to get done and what kind of career even I'm trying to build or any of those kind of things, but to lay my life down for those in front of me, for my family, for my kids. For the neighbors who need it, for those who need to sit on the porch late at night and talk, or whatever the thing might be, I'm trying to remember those things. I'm learning again the importance of living in view of God's mercy and being a living sacrifice, and knowing that is what worship really is. That is what it is. It's that simple and that exceedingly difficult, right? And so tonight, that's not much of a sermon. But I want to take some time to one, just commend you and to remind you what this is really all about. I want to commend you and thank you for all that you're doing. I know some of, but not all of, but I already know a lot of the ways that you have still maintained your commitment to being the church, to being a living example of sacrificial love in the midst of this crazy time. And now there's this, man, we're in election season. It's getting ugly out there, folks. this is the time when everyone's going to start knowing all the answers, demanding you agree with them, and promising to be your savior. And it's a hard time to stay committed to what's really important. But that's what we're here for. Whether it's me talking to a stupid camera or us being in person. That's what we exist for. We are committed not to a political party. We're not committed to being conservative or liberal or left or right or perfectly orthodox or any of those things. We are committed to being living embodiments of the sacrificial love that Christ has shown for us. So thank you for all the ways you've done that for me personally. Thank you for all the ways you are doing that right now in your own families, in your own homes, as difficult as it can be there sometimes. Thank you for the way you are doing that in whatever way is safe and constructive and protective of those who are most vulnerable in our community. Thank you for being the ecclesia. Thank you for being the living embodiment of Christ's love. And keep it up. Keep it up. This would be an easy time if you didn't have a good solid definition of what church and worship was. This would be an easy time to say, what is the point exactly? And maybe walk away from it altogether. And I know plenty of people that are in that position. But keep it up. Remember what's important. Remember why we are here. And thank you for being such a kind of shining example of that in my own life. And thank you for 13 great years. I can't imagine that it was 13 years ago that we were up in that sweaty upstairs room with that handful of people talking for the very first time about what we thought this might could be one day, and committing ourselves to fail doing it the way we're supposed to do it. We feel like we're supposed to do it instead of succeeding at anything else. And yet somehow we're still here. And I'm grateful for you. This world is a better place because you're here. So thank you all. I can't wait to see you guys in person again. We're getting ready to jump on and do a Zoom call. And on that Zoom call, we can catch up with each other. We'd love for you to jump on there. I know it's hard to do every week, but jump on when you can so we can catch up with you, see your smiling face and talk to you. And this week, don't forget what this is all about. This week, let's live our lives fully through the lens of God's mercy. Let's let nothing else guide us. Let's be the thing that we see it all through. And in view of God's mercy, may we offer up our own bodies, our own lives in sacrificial love, because that is what worship is all about. That's what it means for us to be the church. Thank you again. Again, we're going to post a couple of the responses we got about what church has meant in the pandemic. Please jump in there, add your own stuff. We'd love to hear from you on the Facebook page as well. And thank you for all that you do. Peace be with you, and we'll see you on the Zoom call soon. Love you guys.